Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
But I wonder if the shepherd becomes a sheep. What a wonder if a shepherd becomes a sheep. David was a shepherd. He wasn't only a shepherd of the sheep and lambs of the flock, but you know, he became the shepherd of his people Israel. What a wonder if a shepherd becomes a sheep. The smallest, the lowest, the meanest. We hear him. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm shepherding, he says, but the Lord is my shepherd. Do you know what it means? It means that he is also the shepherd of the flock of David. If David was the shepherd of the people of Israel, and God was his shepherd, he is also the shepherd of the people of Israel, of all the flock, the lambs and the sheep congregation. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When I look to this passage, to this psalm, I see that there is and there are different times in spiritual life. First portion of this psalm speaks about he leadeth me, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. There are times of peace, first love, eating and drinking. But all the people of God will know that there are coming different times. Enemies, dark veils near the grave. For the Lord says, in this life you will have tribulations, and by many tribulations you will enter into the kingdom of God. Do you know, people of God, we are going through the desert. Our hometown is not here. And therefore the end of the psalm says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's not this house. That's the house of many mansions, traveling through the desert, coming in the Canaan of peace. It speaks about it. But we see two differences. Eh? First, still waters, green pastures. Your mountain will be strong. And you think it will never change, but it changes. For you have to go through the path of righteousness. That's the path of faith, to walk, not only to sit and to dwell, but to come in Jerusalem, you have to walk through the desert. Abram got peace. But the Lord says, go out of your country to the land which I show you. And he had to travel, afflicted. But he came and all God's people will come, even if they go through the valley of death. He will prepare a table that they might eat and drink Christ and His righteousness and be satisfied. And therefore He says, I'm not even fearing evil. Evil means sin and the fruits of sin. Now that's the outline of Psalm 23. And we will go into it a bit before the table is prepared, and we will have the administration of the Lord's Supper. First the word, and then the sacrament. When in the true conversion the first love is poured out in your soul, you had a time of peace. You had such a time of peace, and every Lord's Day the Lord spoke to your soul, isn't it? You were led at still waters, and you're having green pastures. And it seems that it would never be changed in your life evermore. Sometimes He draws you with cords of love, but afterwards He brings you in the desert. For He wouldn't have heaven on this side of the graveyard. Canaan is on the other side, people. You have to travel through desert and the Jordan of death to come in the Canaan of peace. And therefore you see that David says, I had such quiet times, green pastures. He was eating and drinking and be satisfied. But God said to him, I'll make you king. You're a man after my heart, and you will be the king of Israel. And there it started. He might have thought that everything would work together in a positive way. Saul would be dead soon, and he would be the follow-up in the kingdom of God. But Saul didn't die. It started even before, when the army was by the Philistines and Goliath came on the scene. He couldn't stand sin and the dishonoring of the name of God. The whole army trembled. But the little David, exhorted by the Spirit of God, stood in front of Goliath. No, not David, but the God of David. And David as his means. And God slew him. And there it started, envying. He became a general. But Saul envied him. Hated him. He saw in David the path of righteousness. He walked by faith, and Saul by mind, reasoning, counting. And Saul knew David was with him. Of God was with David, I mean. Saul knew it. My dear congregation, there it starts when you have to walk in the path of righteousness. It means by faith in Christ, testifying of a strange righteousness. legalists will hate you. So-called Christians will slander you, and Christ will be with you. David had a lonely life, I think, and yet not lonely. God was his shepherd. He might have many who admired him, but few who loved him. God loved him. He was a shepherd. And he became in a strife. It's wondrous how God performs his promises, isn't it? Always going down for a man and going up for himself, for his glory and grace. He knows how to deal with high-minded people. And don't think David wasn't. He was. Don't you think that he was thinking something of himself, and the 10,000s were jubilating that he had fought the horrors of God? Don't you think so? Do you think that David had no flesh? Yeah. He humbles himself now and then. You see it in the Psalms. He couldn't stand before God. If you're a privileged person by the Lord, you know flesh is fighting it. Spirit and flesh are against each other. So not only enemies from the outside, but God's people has more enemies from the inside. Do you? I do. It's humbling me. It's saying to my soul, how can it be that you had some grace if this enemy is warring against everything of the Lord? You see what I see? I am carnal, souled under sin, and in my flesh dwelleth no good. No good. Is he a no gooder that says I'm flesh? Oh, sure, I'm privileged. But the more I'm privileged, I feel that enemy sometimes within me, fighting, struggling, wrestling. You know, when you meet your enemies, not in quiet places, sometimes your head is around it. But do you know when you meet your enemies, when you're on the path of righteousness? Therefore, Christ says, you will be hated because not of your righteousness, you have none in yourself, but of my righteousness because of me. The path of righteousness. That's to walk by faith, not by sight. And now I'm even going deeper, not by feelings. Some people think feelings produce faith. No, faith produces feelings. We love God if God loves us. And we love because we believe God loves his people, put out by the Holy Ghost. He restores my soul. That's after, huh? That's the whole. Suf in Hebrew means conversion. Some have said some backsliding or going astray, and God restoreth the soul, David. I think it belongs even to his first conversion. Still waters, green pastures. He restoreth my soul. turn from sin to God, being arrested, being brought to knowledge of Him in peace. And He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. There it follows. God doesn't allow you to sit long. He says, travel on. Put your feet in the water. Here is the land of rest. I want you to be with me. And I will dwell in the house in heaven. No, the house of the Lord. Do you see this difference, eh? It's with the Lord. Forever. Forever. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The shadow of death in Hebrew expression means the grave. Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, near grave, I fear no evil. It's wondrous that it said no evil, let's say, in occurrences. That's not it here. It means no evil that will condemn me. That it means. Ra is Hebrew word. If I had any evil when I die, I wouldn't be in the house of the Lord forever. He was led in the path of righteousness, in the righteousness of Christ. Signified and typed as a type in the sacrifices in the temple. He says, and when I walk through the valley of death, even if I have to die, I will fear no evil nor wrath of God. No fear. Young people, it's in the world an expression, no fear. And do you know what it means? Don't fear sin. Don't fear the devil. Fear the devil. But I hope you might not have any fear to meet God. To meet God. Pastor, people of God has a lot of fear, but he can still fear. Take it away. How? For thou art with me, Emmanuel. Christ, God, in Christ. Thou art not any more against me, but with me. Is it a wonder when God, who was against you, is now with you? The whole world might be against you and the devil, Saul and his enemies, but if God is with you, I will fear. Satan may afflict you and put you down. No fear. Why? Thy rod. It's a sign of the words. The rod is the place where it's a stick where the shepherd rests upon when he looks to his flock. God rests in His Word to look to His flock. You can trust that stick eternally. The rod, I mean, and then the stick is reproof. God reproves his people. He let the world go. He humbles them. And I believe if you're a child of God, there comes a time that you will say, it's good to be reproved. So I learned his righteousness. Hey, may I ask you, people of God, this morning, did God some evil to you ever? You did evil to yourself, isn't it? And when he took the stick, did he harm you? Might be for a while. But he did the best he could to do to you. But that's not all. Although it's true that God keeps his people with him, next to him, in his flock, even if they try to wander away and live in the world in sin, he knows to reprove you, dear, and bring you low. But that doesn't take fear away. I've sinned. And you know, my sins are more since I got grace. What do you say? My sins are more since I knew grace. You know what I'm saying? The world doesn't know sin like sin is. A dishonoring of his name. A dismaying of his grace. It's fighting against goodness. It's my stubborn nature who doesn't want to live out of faith, but also try to bring in some works and done good things. Oh, congregation. My self-awareness, my high-mindedness, my so-called convertness, I hope this morning, the table might be found lost sheep gathering by Christ. My dear child, you might have a fear of the law and of God, but I hope you have a sorrow as a fruit of grace. It's a fruit of love. But how can I not fear then, Pastor? Thou preparest the table for me. You know what it says here? It's prepared. It's finished. All things are ready. It would be a dismay for a man who invites you to take your own food with you. And even in the Old Testament, when you came to a marriage feast, a wedding, you were not allowed to have some food with you, nor clothes. You could come naked, and they would close you. Wedding garments. Thou preparest a table for me. I didn't do a syllable to it. Thou preparest a table for me. In providential care, sure. May I ask you, people of God, has something be lacking to you in this world? You have thought many times that it would, but did it? No, eh? Is God faithful, yes or no? Yes, eh? I'm not saying you always had a lot to consume, but enough. David couldn't sow nor reap. But in all the years of his wanderings, he missed not a single moment to eat and to drink. God prepared by providential care a care for him. Did he? He did, eh? But my dear congregation, that's the one thing added to Christ. All things are added to him, given to you. But that's not the primary goal and the purpose of this word. He prepareth a table for sinners. For sinners. His blood for your guilt. His blood for your guilt. His blood for your guilty stains. That cleanses from all sins. When his body, he broke himself, he lay it aside, he lay it down, and he took it again. Some think that on the Lord's table, blood and body are the same. No. Blood deals with the passive obedience of Christ at the cross, where he paid the price when he cried out, "It's finished." And out of his sight came blood and water, says John. All that blood applied to your soul to take away the stains of your sin, having a garment of white cloth. I always wonder how it is white. So it has nothing to do with color. It has to do with righteousness, white righteousness. Because if it had to do with color, it would be bloody red. But red makes white. White and ruddy is the bridegroom. Whiter than snow by the blood of Christ. But my dear congregation, the act of obedience, God wants us to obey the law perfectly. And Christ became man. He took upon him the flesh of the church. He took upon him the flesh of the church. Do you know what I'm saying? He took upon him the nature, the flesh of the church. Therefore you find in the New Testament genealogies. He took upon him the flesh of Rahab. He took upon him the flesh of David. He took upon him the flesh of Peter. And he said, "You didn't perform. I take your flesh to perform righteousness, holiness, full obedience. And I break down my righteousness to give it to you. I take your unrighteousness, your disobedience, your sins, and your cries, to give you my obedience, my righteousness, my perfect love, my perfect faithfulness. And therefore I will not fear evil. And I will enter into the house of the Lord to dwell there forever," says David. "For I have the blood for my guilt, and the body of Christ for my righteousness. And I lack nothing if I'm his." But if you want to add something to that work of Christ, he will be idle for you. He says, "Do it yourself." Naked to the cross I cling. Shameful and sinful. But he says, I prepare my son for you. It's the Father who prepared the table. For God so loved world, and I'm world, that he gave his only begotten son, that everyone that believes in him shouldn't perish, but dwell in the house forever. Oh, my dear, your prayers are not like they should be. Your preparation is not like it should. Your obedience is lacking. You promise to be faithful, and you're not. But he prepares a table for sinners that want and desire to be righteous in the eyes of him. Thou preparest the table. Where? In the presence of my enemies. And why your enemies? Your own flesh? Saul? The so-called righteous people, always goodies, always better. And you think sometimes they are better too. Do you know what Augustine says about such people? Shining sins, he said. Shining sins. Augustine said, the devil converts his people better than God, he says. Do you know why? Shining sins, he said. But God's people has only one righteousness. It's Christ and him crucified. Nothing more and nothing less. Thou preparest the table for me in the presence of my foes. They are looking and envying, hating you, but they can't touch you the moment you sit here. It's a table of peace. And God is enough for all his people, for time and eternity. Oh, my dear congregation, thou anointest my head with oil. That's the oil of the Spirit of joy. And it smells as a savor of life. And thou overfilled my cup, grace abounding for the chief of sinners. Congregation, I'm not asking people which are righteous in themselves, stay on your seat, please. But I'm asking a table for sinners. God prepareth. All things are finished. Come and eat and be satisfied. God is a God of salvation. To him belongs the praises. I in the dust, less than nothing, that he might be my all in all. For Christ's sake, do it in remembrance of your conversion of me. Of me. Oh, that loving Christ, that dear Savior, that faithful God who knew that you wouldn't perform like he desires. He says, come and eat, and let the enemies talk and slander, and reject your name as evil. I am your host. And I'm giving my son as a full salvation for all his people, young people. Oh, I would like you to envy the people of God in a positive sense. For their sitting at the table is better than temporal life. It's a place of rest to enter the strife again on their way to Jerusalem. May God bless his word and prepare your hearts to eat and drink, O child of God, and be satisfied. We ask it in his name. I read the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and let him also eat of that bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it's above all things needful, first, rightly, to examine ourselves, secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ has ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that everyone consider by himself his sins, and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great, that rather than it should go unpunished, he has punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he does believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. You see, there you have the two things, eh? Sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience whether he purposed henceforth to show through thankfulness to God in his whole life and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he has laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and thus firmly resolve henceforth to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those then who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts and bring judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word, and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, warmongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat which Christ has ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord but those who are without sin, for we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves. But on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding, we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, namely that we don't have a perfect faith, and that we don't give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet, since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses, and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin nor infirmity will still remaineth against our willingness can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord has instituted his supper, namely that we do it in remembrance of him. And now after this manner are we to remember him by it first, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God under which we should have perished everlastingly from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he has fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden where he was bound, that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted as the judgment seat, at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and has also taken upon himself the curse due to it, that he might fill us with his blessings, and he has humbled himself into the deepest reproach, pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, that we might be accepted of God, and never be forsaken of him? And finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus in the Last Supper took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner, also after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, You shall remember thereby as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my heartily love and faithfulness toward you, that whereas you otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you. And I certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. As this bread is broken before your eyes and this cup is given to you, you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Lord's Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice once offered at the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, when he become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he has taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head and in us as his members might have true communion with him and be made partakers of all his blessings, of life eternal, righteousness and glory. Besides, that we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the Holy Apostle says, for being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread, for as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together one wine floweth, and mixeth itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be all together one body through brotherly love for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who has so exceedingly loved us and not only showed this in word, but also in very deed toward one another. Here is to assist us the Almighty God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may obtain this all, let us humble us before God with a true faith and implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou will be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that we may daily more and more with a true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us, and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may no doubt but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things needful, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross daily cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted heads, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him eternally. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us daily our daily bread, and forgive us our debts like we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouth and hearts, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation, we are preparing the table now. My dear congregation, God prepares a table in the presence of the enemies to eat and drink and be satisfied, and they will keep their mouth when God speaks. So I ask the people of God, and listen, all things are prepared. The bread which we break is the communion with the body of Christ. Eat and be satisfied. For all the righteous demands of the Lord, fulfilled by him alone. The cup of blessings which we bless is the remembrance of the precious blood Christ. Drink and believe that he has shed his blood for all your sins. Beloved congregation, you attending the Lord's Supper, I want to read Psalm 84, and speak some words, exhorting, comforting. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord, and my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow has found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars. O Lord of hosts, my God and my King. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose hearts are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca makes it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them, in Zion appearance before the Lord. O Lord of God, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather to be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is he that trusted in thee. What a gracious place near the altars of God. What a favorable place near the altars of God. What a favorable gift that he gave his blood for a stained sinner. What a favorable gift that he gave his body to obey the law and to break it, that broken sinners might have a righteousness everlasting. What a place for thy people to lay your young there. Grandchildren. There's no better place than the altars of God. There's no better place than the joy of God. No better place than the mercy of God. Where a just is condemned, that an unjust should be set free. Where a stained sinner is made white, whiter than snow. By the blood of the Lamb. Oh, what a place. Young people, I hope one day, and you sitting here in the pew, you may on good ground sit and eat. And be satisfied. Some of you are going a long way after some days, probably in war sometimes. But there is a place in wartime too, at the altar of God. A place through the desert. In the everlasting room. Oh, don't trust in anything of yourself. It's dismaying the Lord. When he gave his son, will you add something to it? No, people. Would you subtract something of it? No, people. Eat and drink and be satisfied. Such a God is the God of hosts for time and eternity. May the Lord bless you all. You can go and we close on the pulpit. We will close with prayer. Let's pray. O Almighty and merciful God, Father, we render thee thanks most humbly that thou hast of thy infinite mercy, given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and sacrifice for our sins, to be our meat and drink unto eternal life, and that thou givest us lively faith whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain this Holy Supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him through Jesus Christ, thy Son. Lord, we thank thee that we could be together with thee, worshipping as an unworthy, undeserving, sinner, eating and drinking, having communion with thee in peace. Be the after preacher, O Lord, there was rest, thou hast given peace. Be the after preacher to those who couldn't attend, young people, make them jealous. Make them cry in the more. Lord, remember us in this city, make us fruitful. Remember thy people all over the world. It's a time of affliction and persecution. And when some of us have to leave for another destiny, in the army or where, it's only one body, one Christ, one church, one glory, after many tribulations. To thee be the honor and grace, the glory and peace, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen.